Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, November the 25th, Thanksgiving. And as we've done here for the last few years, we'll be chatting with our friend Frank Burke up in Wisconsin, author and businessman, and someone who always has a good Thanksgiving story to share. This is, of course, a most unusual Thanksgiving when you hear of families being limited for getting together, you know, some governors in some cities saying don't get together in groups and so on. It's obviously not the Thanksgiving we've grown accustomed to. COVID, of course, is a virus that we have not dealt with before. So all these things have added to make this a most interesting Thanksgiving. Let me say hello to our friend Frank Burke up in Wisconsin. Frank, how's the weather?
Well, it's cloudy. We had rain yesterday with some snow mixed in, and I would say it's probably in the 40s. It's not bad for Wisconsin. A few weeks ago, we had a week of record-breaking 72 degrees temperatures, so
wow.
We can't complain.
No, I guess your climate is changing up there.
Not entirely.
Not entirely, yeah. Well,
Wisconsin is still Wisconsin.
Yes, And I do remember when I lived up there that generally your first snowstorm was mid-November. That's usually when you certainly we didn't always have a white Thanksgiving. I don't remember that, but many were white Thanksgiving. I mean, there were many snowstorms or snowfalls, I should say, toward the end of November. I remember that, Frank.
Oh yes, we have. We actually had the first really, I guess, measurable snow on October 25th, which was trick-or-treat day. So the kids were walking around in their costumes. Thankfully, I'm so glad they didn't try and call off trick-or-treat.
Yeah.
But it's one of my favorite times to see all the cute little kids. And, it was snowing on them. So we had that. And we've had, you're right, many times we have had a white Thanksgiving. One of our dogs came to us in the middle of a blizzard on Thanksgiving. He was astray and came up to the porch on the farm. And, well, he got fed. He had a Thanksgiving dinner, and we ended up adopting him. So
what kind of dog is he?
On my desk.
I mean, just that. Yeah, what kind of dog is he?
Ironically, he looked like a large border collie. But in retrospect, I tend to think he was a, I think it's called a Stansbury Newfoundland, because he was a large dog. But we called him Rexo, and he was just a wonderful dog. Love that
dog. It sounds like a story out of the Hallmark Channel, Frank. You know, a dog
yes,
shows up in your door in the middle of Thanksgiving, and you feed him, and he becomes a part of your family. That's like, you know, that's the next story that I'll see on the Hallmark Channel. That's a great story, though.
Well,
I love it.
It is, and he was deaf. We didn't know it at first until he started running down the road. We're calling him, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, the poor guy's going to get hit. And finally, we took him into the vets, and she said, no, he is deaf. And it never bothered us. It never bothered him.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good life. Every place I went, he went with me. He used to curl up under my desk. So
what a neat story. Something to give thanks, you know, that you got to meet, that you got a dog that way, you know, because sometimes
Absolutely.
The ones who show up at your house hungry do not always make the best pets. But this one obviously did. Well, it's Thanksgiving, Frank, and in this world that we live in, Thanksgiving has become another opportunity for people to, I guess, blame it on the Europeans. You know, I keep saying to myself, if these white Europeans had stayed in Europe, I guess we would all be living under Geronimo, Moctezuma, and whoever the Incas were. And it would all be peaceful and democratic, and you know, women would have the right to vote, and there'd be opposition newspapers. You know, the Europeans made a mistake. They should have left this continent to the people who are running it so well, Frank.
Right, they were. You know, and what beats on a holiday? What beats a good human sacrifice? Which is what they used to do.
That's right.
Any Aztec kingdom.
That's right.
If you want to celebrate, celebrate big.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, let's have Thanksgiving by celebrating or whatever, a bunch of young women. That's a wonderful way to do it. But I think that over the years, I've gotten a little frustrated with the attacks on Thanksgiving because, you know, it seems that the attacks come in different ways. There are people who just hate the country, they just hate the culture, and they just want to burn down statues, and they just hate anything that has to do with the country's history. And then you are others who are nitpicking. They're saying, well, they really didn't celebrate it on the fourth Thursday of November because it was really in March or April or whatever. So you get these people who seem, everybody seems to have something they want to criticize Thanksgiving about. And I've come to the idea, Frank, that the most beautiful thing about Thanksgiving is not whether they ate turkey, whether they had smashed potatoes or wherever they had, or whether it was in the month of March or in the month of May, or whether it happened in Massachusetts or in Rhode Island. The important thing is that you had a bunch of people who got together and gave thanks for having gone through a difficult time, and they gave thanks and they prayed, and that to me is the important part, that they gave thanks for having survived. And everything else is an interesting detail, Frank, but that to me is the essence of this holiday, and that's why I like it so much, that you can get together with family and friends, and for one second you sort of give thanks for all your blessings and for all the wonderful things that you have, and that's what it's about, Frank. That's all that it is for me, Frank.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I totally agree with you, Silvio. It's the thing that bothers a lot of the people is that it's about God. We're giving thanks not to the sky or to some mysterious being. We're giving thanks to God, and that's what it's about, and that's what it always was about. And that it requires thanksgiving in that context requires humility. We have to admit that what we have, we owe not to ourselves, but to God. And I think that many people, you know, one of the scariest things about a lot of people today is the fact that they lack that humility. And without that, you have no sense of humor. Without humility, you don't have humor. Because humor is all about that. And if you don't have a sense of humor, you're in real trouble in this world. I'll tell you that.
Yes, I think you're exactly right about that. You know, I remember when the Cubans first came to the United States that my parents would often say what you just said about humor. And they would say, mm-hmm. How in the world do you think we would survive having to start all over again and starting with nothing if we couldn't laugh at ourselves, you know, if we couldn't have – and humor became a real important part in the Cuban get-togethers that we would have. People would be laughing a lot about, you know, the stupid things they did as immigrants. You know, people would say, oh, yeah, you went to get your driver's test and you failed. That's really funny. You know, stuff like that. That people would just say, and everybody would just laugh to tears. And, you know, people would – but humor, you're right, became a big part of us. But I think more than anything else, what I find amazing about Thanksgiving is the fact that, as you say, it was not started by a government program. It was not started by a bureaucracy. It was started by a bunch of people who had faith, like you said, and who simply wanted to give thanks for the fact that they had survived that very tough winter that they had. And they're saying, hey, we survived. You know, we took a lot of losses. We had a lot of pain. A lot of families were broken up because of all of this. But we made it, and we're looking ahead to the future, and we hope that we can thank God again the next year for the blessings that he's going to give us over the next 12 months. So that's how I've always seen this holiday. I've never seen it so much in terms of pilgrims or Puritans or whether they mm-hmm. ate turkey or whatever. I mean, I've always seen it more the essence of simply giving thanks for what you have, Frank.
Yes, and you know it's ironic because and tragic in a way, because so much of what we have comes from this country and from our Western civilization, and there are so many people who want to tear that down. I'll give you a good example of that. This year is the 400th anniversary of the landing of the Pilgrims, and you haven't heard anything about it. Isn't that unreal?
That is amazing. Yeah, I heard about this yesterday. By the way, I'm glad you mentioned it, because I heard about this yesterday, and I think it was Senator Cotton of Arkansas who was saying that on the floor of the Senate. And and I honestly missed it. I didn't realize that it was. So I'm glad that Senator Cotton mentioned it, and I'm delighted that you bring it up, because that. You know, that landing was so consequential. Those were simple people who just wanted to be able to pray their own way, Frank. That's all that it was.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It was, the foundation. So many of the foundations of our freedoms go back mm-hmm. to the very, very early part of this country and documents, the Mayflower Compact, things that presage, we don't want to be under the hand of someone else. We want our freedom. This is where the American thirst for freedom came. And today, we're having to fight like the devil to keep it. You know, it's what Ronald Reagan said. Freedom is always only one generation away from extinction.
That's right. No, that's right. Exactly right. It can be gone a lot quicker than people realize. You know, people assume that
sure.
this is all permanent and it can go away very, very quickly. But I think what you said before, Frank, I want to go back to this point because I think it's excellent that you bring up the fact that that Thanksgiving was about praying to God. And I think for some people that's something you don't do. I mean, there's a certain element of the population that just hates God, I guess. And that's
yeah.
okay. I mean, as I don't care. I mean, if you want to be an atheist, it doesn't really bother me one way or another. I mean, I don't have to chat with you about it. But I think the people who are atheists and who don't understand God, I think they're really missing something. They're really missing something
oh.
because I don't know, for example, what it would be like if somebody said to me, God doesn't exist. It's all a big fake. I think living would be entirely different, Frank.
Oh, I think it would. I think it would. It would be, do you believe, and this is something that, I've argued with people about this, but I have always believed that everything alive will
mm-hmm.
live. Everything alive, trees, people, animals especially, we all have life from God. This all comes down to us. And you can't take that away. It's
mm-hmm.
eternal. We can go, we will be in another dimension when we die, but we will be alive. I don't
yes.
think you can kill life.
Right. No, I know what you mean. I sometimes think about that too, and I say to myself, that when I make it to the other world, it's going to be one heck of a Thanksgiving because there's going to be people in that party that I haven't seen in a long time.
Well,
I'm going to get to know people that I never got to know,
Yes, and, totally, how can I say, totally unconsciously, you
right.
have brought up something that I was going to mention, and that is...
Oh, my goodness. After all these years, I read your mind, Frank.
You do well. When you're this
we
close
should,
friends, how do you stop?
I know. I mean, I should remind the audience, if anybody tuned in and didn't know, that I've done this with Frank now. We've done these Thanksgiving chats for many years. And
yes.
it's one of my most enjoyable shows of the year because we kind of get to unwind and talk about things that we don't usually talk about in shows. And Frank, I promised you a rock and roll show, and I did not forget that. I promised that we will do a rock and roll show one of these days, but Maybe we will now.
This comes into it. This comes into it.
All right. Well,
I read an article sometime.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll give you the microphone for a couple of minutes here because I keep interrupting you and I don't mean to.
Oh, no problem. I read an article some time ago about one of the things that's going to really damage psychologically our generation is the fact that so many of the rockers that we knew as young people are passing away, and they are. And it brings to mind, when you talk about Thanksgiving, of course, the image of Thanksgiving is the table and everyone at the table. And as we get older, unfortunately, empty seats begin to appear. Within this past year, it's you know what life is about. You have a new grandson. I lost one of my closest friends, a man who I as his wife said, you guys were like brothers, and we were. And I think we still are. But he contracted Parkinson's, and it went into a dementia, and we lost him. And, you know, we love his wife, and this will be her first Thanksgiving without him. She's back in New York. Fortunately, her daughter and son-in-law will be with her. But it's as you get older, there is a bittersweet side to the holidays because we mark the years by the holidays. And when we look down that table and there are empty seats, we become aware of our own mortality and of the people we love and how much we miss them.
That's right. And in fact, now that you mentioned that, this is going to be, for me, let's see, this is going to be my fifth Thanksgiving without my father. And I remember back in 2015, as my dad was really very sick, and we kind of knew that it was, the clock was counting down, but we didn't know whether it would be 1 month or 2 months or whatever. And I remember Thanksgiving 2015. We didn't have much of a celebration because my mother was at the clinic with my dad, and you know, nobody was really in a mood for a party. So I think we got together, we ate something, and we watched the football game. That's what I think we did. But mm-hmm. I do remember exactly what you're saying now, and that is, you know, okay, is this the last one that we'll have him around, you know? You're right. I mean, that is Thanksgiving. You know, you think about, I think a lot too, and when I think about on that point, Frank, I sometimes go back and I remember people that I remember being with for Thanksgiving, not just family, but friends. And mm-hmm. especially this year, with COVID, I mean, that brings another element into it. Let me take a quick break, Frank, and then we'll come back and we'll continue this great chat with Frank today about Thanksgiving, something we've done many years in a row. Be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, chatting with our friend Frank Burke, as we always do on a Thanksgiving show that we've been doing now for several years. And Frank, one of the things that makes this particular Thanksgiving 2020 so different from any of the others is, of course, COVID, the virus, corona, whatever they call it.
Yes.
And of course, the virus is impacting us in many ways. On one hand, I mean, I know people. I don't know anybody personally or very close to me who's passed away. I don't know that. I mean, I know of some people who have, but they weren't very close to me. I mean, I didn't know them real well. But I do have several friends, including right now a couple from the church who is under COVID and at home recovering, thankfully. And so you have this virus, which is, of course, limiting our seeing other people and our activities. And it's just like, I don't know the way they did it back in during the days of the Spanish flu. I have no idea how they had Thanksgiving back then. But it does limit what you can do. And in a way, it kind of spoils Thanksgiving. Now you have, Frank, governors and mayors telling you not to to get together with friends or limit the number of people. I mean, that's just outrageous, I think. I mean, you should let people
Absolutely.
Take care of themselves, Frank. So COVID obviously has made this Thanksgiving a little stranger than some of the others, Frank.
Very much so. And I think also the venality of some of these politicians that are bringing this country to the verge of a civil war again, permitting the looting and the rioting to go on, defunding the police, not backing the people who are trying to control what's happening in some of our cities. The fact that there are over 700 murders in Chicago this year alone, and the year isn't over. That last weekend there were 50 people shot and 5 dead. What's happening in New York, where people are being thrown in front of subway trains. We are in a very, very dangerous period, and it's not a time for tinhorn politicians to assume authority that they don't have and tell us that we can't be with our friends, we can't be with our families. Yes, be reasonable about it. Be reasonable about it and understand it. Even if you want to, you know, stay outside and talk to people. But for heaven's sake, let's not be puppets of petty dictators. We're Americans. We go back to that thing about freedom. And that's why your people came here. That's why my people came here. And
that's right.
We can't lose that.
No, not at all. Not at all. But you're right. I mean, so in the city of Portland, the state of Oregon, the governor has basically said that, yes, you can snitch on your neighbors. If they're I mean, that is so obscene. You know, I wrote a post over at the American Thinker today, Frank, about this, and I said it reminded me of being in Cuba. I was a kid in Cuba, and back then the government had these what they call committees for the defense of the revolution, and in every block of the city there was a committee. Okay, it was like a watchdog, if you will, and each one of these had a president, you know, whose job was to make sure that there was no counter-revolutionary activities in the block, you know. So the government gave people a ration card, so you can buy food. But it wasn't enough. I mean, it wasn't enough. So what families would do, they you know, they go underground and you buy food. Markets, farmers would sneak chickens in a car and bring it to town and sell it to people. So I remember one late evening, when my mom and my dad and several neighbors were like around a table and they were like giving each other beef and vegetables that the farmer had brought into town illegally. And of course they were doing this, you know, and somebody had their eye on the window, because if somebody accused them, the police would literally show up and arrest everybody. And I couldn't help but think about that image, Frank, when I heard about Oregon. You know, I know that it's different in a communist country, but is it really that much different, Frank, when you've got the governor saying, yeah, you can call the police if there's 10 people next door? Oh, come on.
Well, not at all. You know, in Russia, there is a monument from Lenin's time to a young boy who, when the government demanded a percentage of the harvest, a huge amount of the harvest, the farmers would have to, so to speak, pony up when they came around. And this boy's parents hid some wheat or something, and he told on them. And they were executed. And there's a monument to him. What a swell kid.
Right. I wonder what that kid, after he grew up, thought about all of that. He probably didn't feel very good about it, I would think. I would hope not. Yeah, you would hope not. Yeah, but that's the thing, and that's happening, you know, in the United States. That's something. I mean, to me, that would have been inconceivable a year ago, 10 years ago, that a governor would even say something like that. But in all fairness, this is the governor of the state that allows. There's no problem people getting together in Portland and tearing up the city. That's okay. I mean, no problem there.
Yeah. Well, not to mention the fact that you have people on Biden's side who are calling for vengeance against Trump supporters.
Yes.
And if they can, and you remember what happened with the IRS, and nobody was ever punished for it, with the conservative groups. And you know how often that's been used as a club.
Right.
You've seen what happened to Flynn and to other people. I mean, it's frightening. It's very frightening because it's right out of the Soviet playbook.
Right. And then some of them even saying that even using the word re-education camps, some of them taking Trump supporters and putting us in re-education camps. Well, that, you know, I wonder how that worked in South Vietnam or in Vietnam. Or, you know, in Cambodia, when people were literally thrown into these re-education camps. And
or Germany in the 1930s,
Germany, I mean, and that, of course, is one of the reasons that we teach history, so that people know that these things are not brand new ideas, that we've had them before. We've had them before,
but, you know,
and thankfully they've been opposed, you know.
But look at how the teaching of history has been corrupted.
Oh, absolutely.
And how our children are learning things that never happened. It's all revised. It's about how bad America is and was.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the great beacon of light.
That's
right. You know, I mean, what's tragic is that we are having this conversation on our Thanksgiving show.
Absolutely, absolutely. But it's reality. It is Thanksgiving 2020, and that's very unfortunate. Hopefully more people realize all of this insanity. One more piece of insanity. I was reading just before we started the show, I was reading that in Maryland, they are now going to force into their studies, their history studies, the concept that this is a stolen land, I guess. It's somehow the land, I guess, that the university is on is stolen land. And then one of the students was saying, well, why don't you give it back to the people then if it was stolen? And the president of the university couldn't answer that one because, of course, yeah, that's a tough one. You know, gee, you mean we actually have to give back stolen land? Well, don't call it stolen if you don't have to give it back, you know. So anyway, but there's good things to look forward to, Frank. So let's close with a positive thought here. We have a grandson, which is, of course, a delight.
Yes.
And something that, you know, Frank, we have three sons, so it's not like we haven't had babies before. But it's been a while since we've had a baby around. And it's just amazing to me what a baby can do to just make anything so much more exciting. I mean, having this little kid around, I mean, being his first Thanksgiving, his first Halloween, all these things that you kind of, you know, that you didn't really do because your kids grew up, you know. It's just amazing what a baby can do and what a little, you know, baby can do to make your life so much more exciting, Frank.
Right, definitely, definitely. Well, Silvio, I have a couple of little readings here if you want.
Well,
me to
you know,
do it.
It wouldn't be our Thanksgiving show without you doing a little reading. So I'm going to turn off the mic here on my end and let you read.
Well, I have two things. Because it's tough to find a literature on Thanksgiving. There's much more on Christmas. But one thing, I do substitute teaching, and I absolutely love teaching kids in English class. And one of the things I try and teach them when it comes to poetry is that you very often have to disregard the linear form of the poem and the meter and read it in sentences. For instance, the great example I give is, listen, my children, and you shall hear of the midnight ride of Paul Revere in the 18th. No, that the way it was written, and it has that horse's hoofs kind of beat. But what is it saying? Listen, my children, and you shall hear of the midnight ride of Paul Revere on the 18th of April in 75, etc. That's very true with hymns, too. A lot of the times, the words get lost in the music. So I want to now read you the first two stanzas of what is probably the most popular Thanksgiving hymn. It's called Now Thank We All Our God. It's to a Scandinavian tune. It's quite an old hymn. It goes back to the late 1500s, early 1600s. And the words, go to the 1820s, 1850s, somewhere around there. But I will read the first two stanzas as if it was a letter. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom his world rejoices, who, from our mother's arms, has blessed us in our way with countless gifts of love. And still, oh, may this gracious God through all our life be near us with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us. Preserve us in his grace and guide us in distress, and free us from all sin till heaven we possess. That's the hymn. The
That's
second thing
Frank.
I want.
I like it. I like it. I give you a 10 on that one, Frank.
The next
or
one is 100, a little bit longer.
I should say 100. I guess it depends what school you went to. Either 100 or a 10, but the best grade.
Right. In Catholic school, you got a gold star. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. We were talking about the importance of this country and things that we are grateful for, and how much freedom and thanksgiving is a part of our, and God especially, is a part of our heritage, and was from the beginning. So what I'm going to read you now was written on the 3rd of October, 1789, and it was the Thanksgiving Proclamation by George Washington. And if you listen to the date, it's very coincidental. By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being, who is the beneficent author of all that is good, that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interposition of his providence which we experienced in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general, for all the great and various favors which he hath been pleased to confer upon us. And also, that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people, by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness unto us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October in the year of our Lord, 1789, George Washington.
Wow. You know, Frank, that's absolutely great. I had seen that proclamation before, but of course, when you read it, it just makes it come to life a little bit. But every kid in the country, that should be read in every public school in the country. Maybe private schools do it, or I know some of the Christian schools do it because of the reference to the Creator. But every public school in the country should read that before the kids go on Thanksgiving vacation. They should read say, "This is what we came from, right here. This is what we came from.
Yes.
This is what we came from, right here." That document is from the George Washington, the first president, and every kid should read that because that there's so many messages that he sends in that proclamation that is just absolutely remarkable. But what a great way to finish our Thanksgiving show. I guess the only thing I will say, Frank. Let's do it again next year. Maybe next year you'll come up with another reading for. And I mean, you always have one for the Christmas show. You always have one. I know that because there's plenty of things. But you're right.
Right.
It's a little bit more complicated for Thanksgiving. There just aren't. You know, we don't have. It's like with Christmas. You know, they're playing Christmas music for 30 days now. With Thanksgiving, I'm only familiar with a few tunes. About Thanksgiving, the one you mentioned, Mom, it's just not, you know, pop music has not taken over Thanksgiving the way it has taken over Christmas.
No.
But, so it's just, but I want to thank you very much for your participation, as always, Frank. Give you a strong embrace over the phone, and I hope you and your family have a wonderful day, and I'll always remember you on Thanksgiving and give thanks. For the friendship that we have and how much it's meant to me over the years, Frank.
Well, likewise, Silvio, and please kiss your grandson and your wife for us. And I will close with something that seems very trite, but it's a piece of memory, and you may share it. Do you remember the old Gary Moore show on television?
I don't
it
quite
always...
remember it, but was that the game show? Or?
No, this was in about 1960. It was a variety show. Carol Burnett made some of her first appearances on it. But it always opened with a spectacular song and dance number. And for Thanksgiving, and why I remember this, I don't know. The dancers, male and female, were dressed as pilgrims, and they sang a little song. And part of it went like this, and I will offer it to you, your family, and our audience. On the fourth Thursday of each November, we have a message to convey to all who are near us, to all who can hear us, Happy Thanksgiving Day. So,
right. Well, that is I tell you, there's two shows that I do enjoy watching very much on Thanksgiving. The Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, which is great, absolutely hilarious. That's more comedy. I mean, that's more secular, but it's very funny.
Sure.
And I love the movie The Plymouth Adventure. They show that quite a bit. And that movie, I know it may not be perfect history, but it sends all the messages about Thanksgiving that I think we need to hear. So I love that movie, The Plymouth Adventure. And they usually show that. They usually show that around this time of the year. And I, you know, always try to catch it because I do enjoy that movie. And I've recommended that movie to friends of mine in other countries who I say, look, watch this movie, and it'll give you a quick Thanksgiving 101 so you can kind of get acquainted with the big picture of the holiday. But have a wonderful day, Frank. Enjoy yourself. Stay away from the snow. And we've got one coming up for Christmas, so remember that.
I will, and God bless all of us.
Thanks so much.
Thanks much, Silvio.
Talk to you later. Our good friend, Frank Burke, up in Wisconsin. He's an author. He's a businessman. We talk politics quite a few times during the year. But twice a year, we go Thanksgiving and Christmas. And these are wonderful shows that I enjoy doing very much. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Remember what this is all about. And don't get hung up on a lot of the crazy stuff going around the world. Just enjoy your family and your friends. And you're going to be very happy. Bye-bye, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving.